Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
We thank you for your word, that you've exalted your word above your name, oh God. You sent your word and you healed us and delivered us, oh God. We praise you and we thank you. Does anybody have the Message Bible with you? No? Scripture came to me as we were singing that song, and I love it in the Message. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. That scripture in Matthew 12, I think it is. Anybody happen to know that, have that memorized in the Message Bible? I'm just teasing. We don't usually memorize the Message, but it's so good. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. It's Matthew 11, 28, but let me see what it says in the Message here. It's so powerful. Are you tired? Yes. This whole COVID thing, I mean, it's just exhausting, the underlying, you know, tension and anxiety and burnout on religion. Come to me, Jesus said. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I think above everything else God is calling us, we're into this forced pause. He's saying, will you get away with me? How to take a real rest. Thank you, Father. Father, forgive me for letting the news, forgive me for letting the fear of man come in and try to rob that real rest that you're drawing us to, that you're calling us to. Our identity, knowing that God, just as Jesus knew where he came from and knew where he was going, he was so secure in your love, God. Father, I thank you that Jesus came by the power of his Holy Spirit to show us how to enter into that rest, how to know who we are and be secure in your love. And Father, you are drawing us, you are pulling us into that relationship with you, that intimate relationship with you, to recover our life, to have a real rest. Walk with me and work with me, he says. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. That's so good. The unforced rhythm of grace. That's what I want to learn. Because, you know, there's another rhythm, there's another pull, there's a forced pull and voices, many voices that try to get us out of that real rest that Jesus is calling us to. So our job as believers is just to abide in him and stay there. Sometimes it's like swimming upstream because our head and all the voices and all the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things try to come in and choke us and get us out of that rest. So don't lay anything, he said, I don't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that good? These are the words of Jesus. This is what he's calling us to. And I was thinking about that, and this, none of this is in my sermon. I don't know if I'll get to my sermon again. We are going to finish the book of Galatians eventually. But this was on my heart this morning, and I'm going to just go with what is on my heart. In Deuteronomy 6, really worship the Lord Jesus in America. But it says in Deuteronomy 6:10, When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would give you, a land with large and beautiful cities that you did not build, houses full of every good thing that you did not fill, cisterns that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Worship him. Take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God among you is a jealous God. Remember the Lord your God, in Deuteronomy 8:2 says, who led you on an entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would fear the Lord. And you know, all this COVID, all this upheaval, and the Lord isn't doing it, but you know, sometimes the Lord leads us into the wilderness to humble us. We're experiencing so much prosperity that we did not produce with our own hands. He says, be careful, don't forget the Lord your God and worship him. And like I said, I do not believe the Lord is doing all this, but I do believe he's using it to humble us. But Matthew said, come to me. And let me take you into rest. And I know at times, with all of this stuff, the COVID, all the voices being like, oh, should we open, should we not? Should we make people wear masks? Should we, you know, what do we do? Are people going to judge us? Or, you know, just feeling all this turmoil that the enemy is just throwing darts, you know. It's like we have to purpose. No, God, I'm going to listen and obey. But I have to get in that place where I can hear. That's the key. And we have to turn off all these other voices so we can hear. I have to open up my head sometime and dump it out. Right, Aline? I mean, it's like, you know, that's why you'll be transformed by renewing our mind, by casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Amen? Amen. One more thing I wanted to say that was not in my notes was that in Romans 14, Paul was addressing a divided church, or a church that had a potential to divide. The Jews and the Gentiles were trying to be one church, but disagreement on a lot of stuff in Romans. What to eat, what not to eat, how to socialize. All of this was an issue. Paul's direction on this is in Romans 14. Listen to what he says. He says, welcome one another. Do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything while the other eats only vegetables. One person believes they should wear a mask while another thinks they don't need a mask. That's my translation in there. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind, Paul says in Romans 14. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in the honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to be a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. He said, I know and I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But it's unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love by what. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking or wearing mask or not wearing mask or social distancing or not, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. that's what God's calling us to. Jesus prayed before he faced the cross, God, that they would be one, even as we are one. And so, of course, the God of this world, who is against anything that isn't in the kingdom of God, who thought that he had Jesus when he put him on the cross, little did he know the resurrection was coming. And now Jesus is resurrected in us, y'all. One body. He's the head. We're the body. He's put gifts. He's put a gift in every single one of you to be a part of this beautiful picture, puzzle piece, signifying the picture of the glory of God. So what's your place? What's your gift? Where does God want you? He said, let everything done without strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. And God's calling us to unity. God's calling us to love one another. Amen. And that's what the whole book of Galatians is about, really. And you know what? I forgot my remote down here. Thank you, Rick. I'm sorry. Galatians 5. We just got done with Galatians 5:24. And he says, thank you. So Christ has set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision or anything that you do in the outward to be right with God, to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no effect or benefit to you. Right before, I was thinking Galatians 5:24, and opinions, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and opinions and judgments have been crucified. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, judging one another, because we've been crucified. And we're living now out of the Spirit of the resurrection. So he goes on to say, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass or sin or fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. That verb is instructive. It means to put in order or to restore to its former condition. Used in the secular Greek, it's a medical term for setting of a fractured or dislocated bone. It's implying, like in Mark 1:19, the apostles were mending their nets. It says, restore such a one. The job of restoration is often neglected in the church. We have a tendency to either pretend the sin didn't ever happen, or we tend to be too harsh and judgmental toward the one that is sinning or falling or failing. The balance between these two extremes can only be negotiated by the spiritual. It should be normal to do what God says here, but it isn't. It's all too easy to respond with someone's sin by either ignoring it, turning our back, saying that's their problem, or judging them and gossiping with harsh judgment. But he goes on to say, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. This suggests that gentleness, or a spirit of gentleness, one version says meekness. It suggests that gentleness is born out of a sense of knowing our own weakness and proneness to sin. That's the only way we can restore someone in gentleness, is if we are very aware, but for the grace of God, there go I. And that was the big beef that Jesus had with the Pharisees, what they were so unself-aware of the log that was in their own eye and very cruel. Oh, you blind guides. So you restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness because you're very aware. In my flesh dwells no good thing, but for the grace of God, I'm very capable of any horrendous sin that anybody else could do. To have that kind of self-awareness, that's what Jesus said, the broken, blessed are the broken or the contrite in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It's being aware that, God, I need you, God. I am not, get rid of all self-righteousness. And that takes people some time with God. That takes some, in fact, solitude and silence is the furnace of transformation, of being aware of our own stuff. So he goes on to say, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So if you're going to restore another, do it in gentleness, considering yourself. The influence of the legalists and the Judaizers at the time that Paul was writing to the Galatian church, the influence of the legalist among the Galatians made this warning necessary. Nothing reveals the wickedness of legalism better than the way the legalist treats those who have fallen or sinned. God is purging his church of our self-righteousness and our religiosity and our thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. In fact, God says about the body, he says that he gives more abundant honor. I mean, we always see the mouth, and we always see those up front. And when God is saying he gives more abundant to the spleen, don't even nobody know what the spleen's doing or the kidney. But I'm telling you, without it, it's going to show up. You're going to feel it. So through the whole letter, Paul is battling the legalist among the Gentile Christians. Here he hits it again. And he goes on to say, do you want to fulfill the law of Christ? Bear one another's burdens. Pride prevents us from bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. That we've called to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all we have to do. One law. But you have to be in the spirit to do that. Because we are not capable of loving in and of our flesh. And we have all these wrong motives why we want to love. Because we like people to think, oh, they are so spiritual. You know, we don't even know our own motives lest the Holy Spirit just pull back the curtain. And then right then and there, here comes the grace of God. When we just confess our sin, his grace empowers us to overcome. But there's few things more deceptive as pride. That's why the Bible says, clothe yourself in humility. Walk worthy in all humbleness. Humility is the way, y'all, is the way of Jesus. It's the only way. Humility is the narrow way, and few there be find it. Pride is the doorway into deception. To be proud is to be blind, blind to the freely given favor and grace in Christ, blind to our sin, and our depravity, blind to the good in others, and blind to the foolishness of self-centeredness. He goes on to say, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For each one his own load or his own burden. You know, it's interesting because it says up here, bury one another's burden. And then it says down here in 3, let each one bear his own burden. You know, many times in the scriptures, it seems like it's a paradox, you know. Got to die to live, you know. The way up with God is down. And here he's saying, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then down here he says, let each one bear his own burden. Well, I looked, those burdens, the first burden is a boulder. I mean, every once in a while, a boulder gets dropped on top of you and you need people to come alongside of you and you need to lift up that boulder and to help you get through. Maybe there's a sin and they come in the spirit of gentleness and they restore you. In the spirit of meekness, lest they also be tempted. No judgment. They just love you and they help you get this burden of shame or condemnation or whatever it is because they show you unconditional love. So that's a boulder, the first burden. The second one, let each one bear his own, that's a knapsack. You know, that's where they get the word enable. There's some people that need to be doing some things, and you coming in and doing them for them is not helping them. Now, judge them. But this one isn't. Some things people need to do for themselves so they can grow, so So like, even if they fail, they can, if you pick them back up and say, okay, let's do it again. So that's, Jesus is not into us enabling people, but when boulders fall, when people need encouragement, even if they're not carrying their own knapsack, to judge them and say, well, no, you just encourage them. You can do this. Don't do it for them. That's enabling. So that's what he's talking about. Let each one carry their own knapsack there. Body of Christ. And we got through four verses in Galatians 6. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, God. Father, I thank you for your instruction today. Father, I just ask that you would rid us all of all self-righteousness and legalism and judgments. Because you know what, Jesus? We all got that in us. We got the Pharisee and the publican. And at any time, it can switch on. Father God, help us to be alert, Father God, of our own thoughts. Because as a man thinks, so is he. We want the mind of Christ, God. We want to see no man after the flesh, but to see people as a new creation and what you're calling them to be. We want to see diamonds in the rough, God, and call people out, Father. Call the gifts out of each, encouraging one another. Father, we want to be your body, Father. And so we thank you today that we are not independent, but we are interdependent on you and each other by your blood, by your doing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.